2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, what a better time to do so. You can use all of our MLB VIP tools that we got going on. You got access to the Slack chat, which is open for business 24/7. And, of course, the Domination Station you can use for golf, including U.S. Open next weekend. And, of course, all the MMA fights as well. All you got to do is use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. You can check us out for 7 free days. If you like what you see, make sure you sign up for us monthly, yearly, whatever your jargon is. Do so. Use the promo code PODCAST in that situation. But you need to see what we're all about for 7 days. You do it. Promo code WIN, again, W-I-N. 7 free days. I am your host, Sal Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find Keith Hall joining me as always at Boomers DFS Daddy. 14 game slate today on this this Friday that we got going on here. So glad we don't have to talk about the Rockies on this slate since they're playing in the afternoon game. But oh my goodness, good win on John Lester last night.
Yeah, I mean, he's, I think it's safe to say it, since it's June 10th or 9th, and, the Rockies currently hold a 2-game lead in the West and are, the second best team in the National League and one of the top 5 teams in baseball, that, this team is not just, this isn't just a 2-week span where they're playing good baseball. This is a very, very good team. And when you put it and what's funny is, you know, they say the road to the World Series goes through the defending champs. Well, over the last 2 seasons, we're one of 2 teams to have a winning record over the Cubs.
Ooh.
So, it's nice. I'm more worried about the Nationals than I am the Cubs when it comes time for playoffs, but it's not something that I don't think that we can't overcome. Everybody's talking right now because we're getting closer to that trade deadline, and you're starting to see, you know, guys that are being talked about on the trade block and everything like that. Well, one of the things that we have to remember with this Rockies staff right now is that they are very, very young, and they're about to get one of the top starters in baseball back in John Gray. So John Gray's started his rehab. Hey, you know what? One of our teams is actually in contention, and so I'm going to live it up.
You know, I say we don't have to talk about the Rockies today since they're not on the slate, and we get going in. But no, it was a fun win, fun job by Tyler Chatwood there yesterday.
Who's owned the Cubs in the last 2 years, by the way.
And of course, I don't know if anybody had too much exposure to that Mariners Twins game last night, but I only had exposure in the form of Ben Gamel, and of course he's the one that knocks the only run in for the Mariners. And just some excellent defense by the Twins really held that down. Helped me stay in the min cash. The min cash king is coming back, my friends. Keep it under wraps. All right, June just started, but the min cash king is in the house. So I dig that. I like this slate today. Now, we do have a loaded show. Now, by that, I don't mean that we are both hammered yet anyway, but a lot to talk about here today. Here's the interesting thing, right? We got pitching options, okay? Only one or two of them is actually, I don't even want to say elite. I don't even want to say excellent. I just think they're good. And, you know, we got one good – let's just get into it. We got one good situation tonight with Corey Kluber going up against these White Sox. It's been a formidable thing to do to pick on these guys the last 3 days with Rays righties, where we had Chris Archer, Feria made his major league debut, and then Jake Odorizzi, who I had last night, pitched very well against these same White Sox. Now, Corey Kluber had his first start there off the DL June 1st. Doesn't get the second one until today here on the 9th of June. So got a couple extra days. Did have a little lower back stiffness. Is he clearly the top option tonight, or do you have some worry with that, that, you know, he kind of got some extra days rest?
Extra days rest helps, but...
Or does it create rust?
It's more of the price. I can't do it on DraftKings. He's 12-6. But if you look on FanDuel, he is actually 10-5. I have a little bit... I have a lot more interest on him on FanDuel than I do on DraftKings. So it's kind of one of those situations where you've got to be careful. He's, as far as talent-wise and, you know, ceiling, he's definitely, you know, top of the road. But I can't do it otherwise. I have some worry. Not only that, but Jose Abreu kind of owns Corey Kluber.
Yeah, that is certainly noted here. When we look at that, I believe Jose Abreu, 12 of 36, three homers, and Melky Cabrera, no homers, but 11 for 29, five extra base hits against Kluber. So that is certainly a spot of the lineup he needs to avoid. Now, with all that being said, I mean, look, I mentioned it already where, you know, we were able to pick on these White Sox with a bunch of righties, you know, all night. But, you know, you got Kluber there. 10-5 on FanDuel. Beneath that, you're really not looking at too many expensive pitchers. I got Tanner Roark grading out pretty high today going up against the Rangers. Now, the Rangers, for all the hitting that they do in Texas, they do have the third lowest collective batting average on the road in the American League this season. They have the third lowest batting average in the American League on the road this season. So that is an interesting point. They have been striking out a lot more than usual this season. Thank you, Joey Gallo and Mike Napoli. But that is certainly an interesting thing. Now, Tanner Roark, he's going to be facing this Rangers team, which loses the DH tonight. Then they're going to get the pitcher. So that's certainly an advantage that he's going to have. I like that option. How do you feel about Roark? And if not Roark, who else?
I like playing Roark at home. I don't know why, but his home road splits are actually kind of pretty drastic.
Likes home winnings.
You know, this Rangers team, they're starting to hit a lot better, a lot more consistently. I'm worried about Nomar Mazara and Elvis Andrews at the top of that lineup. You know, Rogie Odor's, you know, we know he's got double dong pop. It's just kind of one of those things that, you know, you've got to kind of weigh out. I like a couple other pitchers a little bit better, more towards mid to lower part of it. But you know, Roark's definitely an option. I do like Matt Moore a little bit tonight. I know he hasn't been good or well. At least in that last start anyways, but the start before that, he had four straight quality starts against Cincy, St. Louis, Chicago, and Washington. This is a good Minnesota team, but it's also a Minnesota team that has the ability to be very streaky.
Let's not forget, too, that they are going where offenses go to die.
Exactly. Yolis Chacin is interesting. Going against
Loves
Kansas
the
City.
Home linens.
Exactly. Going against Kansas City. I mean, if you look at his last, well, he didn't pitch that day, I guess. He
against your boys.
I'm just looking at his home starts. This year, his home starts 45, 49, 22. That was against the Dodgers, but he still pitched into the sixth inning and only allowed one earned run. The strikeouts just weren't there. 46 and 34. I love the fact that I can get him for $7,000 on FanDuel and 6,400 on DraftKings tonight.
I dig.
That is that, especially in tournament, because nobody's gonna go. That game is everybody in that game is gonna be extremely low owned. Like
sure,
I think that's one of the forgotten games.
And oh, come on. Are you saying Royals Padres is not gonna draw the masses to their TV sets?
Oh heck no.
I do my Pauly Galtieri laugh.
I also have a little bit of interest in Joe Biagini.
Okay.
When Toronto, like normally I like Biagini when he's at home because he just seems to pitch better in the Rogers Center.
Well,
but this is a de facto home game, and we see it every year with Toronto. when they go to Seattle. All them Canadians come down into Seattle, and they make this a de facto home game. If I'm a Seattle fan, I hate that. Like, when the Yankees and Cubs and stuff come to Colorado, I just hate the fact that, like, the big market teams like that, they can travel and you know.
I'm not a fan of the Mets making that, you know, hour and a half trip down I-95 to Philly. That is even worse. And when they get there, they don't stop hitting.
Exactly. I mean, it just I hate that. But I like Joe Biagini, Yolish Chacin. You're gonna see those guys on the cheat sheet today. Just to give you a couple. There's a couple other ones that I like, but I've been criticized over it, I will continue to do it. I'm not going to give out all the goods on the pod because, you know, we do have paying subscribers.
Indeed. Hey, there are a couple streamers that I wanted to talk about there. Just interesting points of note. Not necessarily going to go with these guys, but it's things that we could look out for. Michael Wacha against the Phillies today. I know he's had a rough go of it lately. He's allowed 15 earned runs over his last three starts. However, from the beginning of the season up until May 24th, he did allow the lowest average exit velocity for pitchers with at least 100 batted balls. This is all the way through May 24th. Since May 24th, he has been bad. But again, this Phillies offense can just fall off a cliff, as we've seen over the last two games.
Yeah, and thanks for ruining one of my sneakier plays that I wasn't going to talk about and
you're
leave
welcome.
Our VIPs. Because, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't do is they'll do a lot of game log watching and stuff like that. And I'm a firm believer that game log watching can get you into trouble as quickly as it can lead you onto some sneaky plays. But, you know, when it comes to pitching, they'll look at the last three. Because people like to see, okay, is he going good or is he not going good? Well, the one thing that people don't realize is you said since May 24th. Well, his last three opponents are the Cubs and the Dodgers twice. I mean, come on. I'm not taking, you know, when you compare the Cubs offense and the Dodgers offense compared to the Philly's offense, I mean, I'm sorry to you, but it's a night and day difference. So
hey, no offense taken at all, bro.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I
watch the games. I see what's going on.
I like Michael Wacha. He was one of my sneakier plays that I was trying to kind of hold off. So
another interesting set of pitchers is actually in that A's Rays game down in Tampa this week. Now, both pitchers, you got Andrew Triggs and Alex Cobb. Both of them are coming off their worst outings of the season. Triggs was going against the Washington Nationals in his start. Alex Cobb got absolutely roughed the hell up by the Seattle Mariners. Now, what's interesting here, both guys have, you know, they've had pretty good outings, but again, how many times have we seen a pitcher come back after having their worst outing? I think they just hunker down a little more. They get a little extra rest from being out of the game so early, but guys like Triggs and Cobb have worked out pretty well this season at times. Now, the thing that works out well for both guys, obviously both sides strike out a lot. We know this. But, of course, there is a downside with the power that both teams have. The Rays are second in MLB with 92 home runs this season. It's funny, too, because the A's lead the league in home runs at home but they are only 18th on the road. The team in first place with homers. What the hell am I trying to say here? Well, never mind. You know what? Forget it. I had a quippy stat, but it didn't come up. I already said it. It was like the team that leads home runs overall, the Rays. That's exactly who's in town today. But lots of strikeout upside, but also lots of murky waters to deal with on the side as well.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. I'm not as excited about it as you are, but
hey, this was the streamer section, okay? I said not probably gonna go with them, but interesting plays nonetheless. And that was it. That was really all I had for those guys. So, any other pitching options before we move along to the sticks?
Nope.
And by the sticks, I mean the bats, not the middle of the country or the woods or anything like that. All right, let's talk about these stacks. We got plenty of options today. Where are you starting off?
I don't. Boston's intriguing.
Oh yeah.
But I've said that the last 3 days, and they've screwed me the last 3 days. If this Cleveland game gets going, and gets as much as we've liked Miguel Gonzalez this year, mm-hmm. at times. I'm really, really, really intrigued by this Cleveland offense. And the way that I would probably pop it is Jose Ramirez, Lonnie Chisenhall, Bradley Zimmer, and Frankie Lindor. I'd kind of wrap it around. But if I make Cleveland stacks, if I feel like this game is actually going to play, and I haven't looked at the weather, I just know that this is the only game that has major weather concerns, or at least it has the most weather concerns on the slate. I really do kind of like having a couple different stacks of that Cleveland offense. So that's one of the places I will be going.
Hey, not a shameless plug at all, but we would also like to welcome.
Not.
What?
No.
Why no?
Is that non-compete? Secret?
What?
Non-compete.
Non-compete?
Yes.
What the hell does that mean?
We don't have clearance yet.
Ah, okay.
If you're a VIP member, you know what we're talking about. If you're not, then you need to become a VIP member. But he has a non-compete agreement with another site currently. so until gotcha. I get clearance, we need to be mindful.
All right. All right.
Don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Gotcha. All right, with that Indian stack, don't forget, too, Michael Brantley, Lonnie Chisenhall, and Edwin Encarnacion all have solid BVP numbers there against Gonzalez. I don't know how you turn away from the Arizona Diamondbacks when they're at home. They were just absolutely terrible on their 10-game road trip that we saw over the last week or two, and automatically they come back home and double-digit football totals, whatever. I guess it didn't hurt that the San Diego Padres were who they are facing, but they're a pretty good option anytime they're at Chase Field.
Yeah, they've one of the things that I kind of realized, I was listening to I get so much Cliff Floyd on MLB Now.
Nice suits.
Not MLB Now.
Network?
MLB Tonight. Okay. Throughout the week. That I don't like listening to him on fantasy baseball on Friday mornings when he's on. So I turn it over to who was the former Mets? Steve Phillips and Ryan Spielborgs, our like boy Spiller. I'm going to be trying to get on the show with us. But I turn it over to
Spielborg?
Him. Yeah, Spilly.
Interesting.
You know, I'm going to try to turn it over to him. Or I'd turn it over to them on SiriusXM on in the mornings on Fridays. And one of the things that they pointed out that I wasn't aware of was the fact that, you know, Arizona and Colorado are the two of the surprise teams in the National League, but Arizona's played a lot of home games. And it's going to flip towards, you know, when we get into the second half of the season, they're going to be on the road a lot. Well, they're not a very good road team, as you pointed out, but they're a very good home team. And they're about to have a humidor get done. And we don't know what kind of effect that's going to have on, you know, the offense there in Chase. So we need to you know, take advantage of it as much as possible while we can. Because we're not going to be able to do it, you know, all season.
And it's funny, they scored 16 runs yesterday, 15. Only one, 15, and only one via the long ball. And Eric Ibar came in to pitch in the eighth inning yesterday and got one fly out, and then he got a double play to sort. It was hysterical. He was throwing like the same MPH that Bronson Arroyo does, maybe a little faster actually. But
it wouldn't surprise me.
That was hysterical to see yesterday. I've been an advocate for the guy over, you know, in certain matchups, but I certainly can't do it today at SunTrust Park. But the Braves going up against Matt Harvey, this could get disastrous if he keeps up on his ways, because he has allowed at least 4 walks in 5 of his last 7 outings. And that equates out to 27 walks over his last 36. Him and Ivan Nova would not get along, these two.
Certainly no, they wouldn't.
You know, look, Harvey's only been there for 6 innings, he's only recorded 6 innings once over his last 7 starts. He's got a 4.76 ERA in his last 10 starts against the Braves. Look, we know this Mets bullpen hasn't been that great either. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, who the hell would have thought that we'd be looking at the Mets with the worst team ERA in Major League Baseball? That is certainly the case. They're going to be in what could possibly be the best hitter's park already so far this MLB season. So
they're number 3.
Load up.
It's allowed.
Load up on your Braves tonight. I think that's going to be a nice option.
Yeah, I hope they go a little bit under own, because I hope that Matt Harvey still carries some name cash that people are scared of him. I actually like both sides of this this game. I think the Mets are a good offensive option tonight as far as a stack, the lefties there. And I think that the Braves are as well. And make sure that you throw in Matt Kemp with your Brave stack, because he's got 3 dongs off of Matt Harvey.
And 2 of them were in the first time they faced this season.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that was at Citi, wasn't it?
That sure as hell was. And those were terrible hitting conditions that day.
Yeah, it was cold. I think cold, rainy, wet.
Cold
know.
In Baja.
So,
you know, just normal Northeast April.
As I sit here and throw napkins at my son because he's throwing him out of his pack and play as fast as I can throw him in.
All right. Little Dodge napkin earlier in the morning. I like it.
Hey, he's quiet.
You talked about the Red Sox today. I want to look at the other side of that game, too, with the Tigers. These guys are absolutely crushing left-handed pitching. We'll get to one of their outfielders. We'll get to one of their outfielders in particular later in this one, but yeah, just the numbers against left-handed pitching are pretty amazing. And what's even more interesting, they face 3 of them this weekend in Fenway Park. So this could be, if you got Detroit Tigers in your season-long league, this could be a nice little weekend here for you.
The problem is that one of them is Chris Sale.
Yeah, you know, ball come in fast, ball go hard too, if they can get to it. But hey, look, we've seen Sale look somewhat human over these last 3 starts, so. Not a big deal. I know the Cardinals are really struggling right now, but they do take on Jeremy Hellickson, who's just been absolutely terrible. Hellickson really hasn't been able to strike many people out. I mean, look, I saw that, Bronson Arroyo didn't necessarily handle the Cardinals, but they didn't necessarily go bananas against them either. Maybe this Cardinals team just needed some home cooking, some home linens, a little time on the hammock out back in the backyard. But whatever the case is, Hellickson just has not been good. So if you want to get really sneaky with it, I could see where the Cardinals could do well. But if they don't do well, just attribute it to these guys are in one of the coldest streaks we've ever seen.
And Matt Carpenter in the leadoff spot is hot. I we've said it. You can't deny it. He's homered.
I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
You
because
cannot.
One of those homers was against Bronson Arroyo.
Dude,
and
it doesn't matter. Look at
to
his
lead
career.
Off the game.
Look at they his were... career stats in the leadoff spot.
All right. If he wasn't in Great American Ballpark,
it doesn't matter.
Of course it does.
I'm talking over his full career. Look at his full career stats in the leadoff spot.
Okay. All right, give him one more day of happy time against Jeremy Hellickson, and then that's it. Well, I shouldn't say that's it because our bullpen sucks, but Maybe this is what he needs to get back on track.
You cannot deny the fact that Matt Carpenter is more comfortable in the leadoff spot than he is in any other spot in that lineup. I'm not denying that.
I didn't think he, you know, and everything that I've seen with Carpenter, I was not liking what I saw at the plate. And, you know, yesterday he hit a first row homer, Oppo Field. Wasn't the greatest swing. It's fine. It gets over. And then his homer against Bronson Arroyo the other day. I mean, I don't think he's totally fixed. Maybe it is the leadoff thing, you know, and you've brought up plenty of good numbers to back that up. But, you know, you won't find me on him.
I think he's a good little mini stack.
I've gone so far with the hate, there's just no coming back.
Yeah, you and your whatever.
Hey, I faded him the first two games of the Cincy series when everybody was still on him at 30%, and it worked out just fine. Now he's facing shitty pitching. All right, fine, whatever.
Okay, right, so he's a career career. He is a career 295 hitter in the leadoff spot. Okay. The next highest in anything over 20 games is in the two hole where he's a 259 hitter. We're talking 45 point difference. My math might be off on that, but we're still talking a 40 plus point difference. You know?
I'm not debating that part with you. That's fine. I get it. He's so damn cold. And again, I already told you, the hate has gone so far, there's no coming back for me. Until he hits like five homers in five games, then I'll consider it.
Yeah, then he's going to be 45% owned.
He's already highly owned.
Just because he was in Cincy, he's not going to be highly owned tonight. Not at first base and not on a 14-game slate. There's no way. Not with the first base options that we have tonight.
Show enough. All right, let's get into some of these positionally. Let's start out with the catcher tonight. As I mentioned, you're going to have lefties all series against the Tigers. So that will either put Alex Avila at the DH, and that'll allow this gentleman, John Hicks, to be in the lineup tonight. He's under 3,000. I believe he's 2,700 on FanDuel tonight. He's batting 300. He's had some really nice starts, when he's actually in the lineup there. So especially against left-handed pitching, this is a great matchup for him in Fenway Park tonight.
It is. I really do like it.
AD does too. Yeah. Or he's laughing at me.
He's laughing, but it's his seal of approval. Okay. I do like it. And Alex Avila, I don't know what his price is right now. But I want to think he's underpriced. He's 3,200. He's underpriced. Yeah. He's batting in that two spot. He's going to be highly owned though. Well, is New York at home? Yes, against Baltimore. Yeah. Gary Sanchez is about to start creeping up in ownership percentage after yesterday. So,
sure. Both against the left, and yeah, I didn't even see this, but I think somebody actually mentioned it in the Slack yesterday, but his BVP against Price is ridiculous.
I did not know about that. But I would say this, that this is not the same David Price. This is not a healthy David Price right now. Plus, he is absolutely just struggled. Since coming to Boston, he's got over an 8 ERA against the Yankees.
Yikes. Yeah. So, with Sanchez, I believe he's 4-for-9 against Price, and all four hits are homers.
So, wow.
Yeah. I don't know how did I miss that? Yesterday I was working on a lot of my freelance stuff. So I wrote the morning article, but that was it. But
I thought you were just sleeping all day.
No. I know my schedule is a little weird now when doing these afternoon games. I don't really get as much sleep as I'd like to, but I had to get some work done yesterday. Some other work. Love the Hicks there. Sanchez is going to be popular. Who else do you like in there behind the plate today?
I really kind of like if he's in the lineup, And I expect him to be Elias Diaz. Now, he'll be hitting towards the bottom of the lineup. He'll be probably in that 8 spot. But he's still got over a 278. He's got a 278 ISO versus right-handed pitching this year. And he's going up against Vance Worley, who you know.
I know him very well.
From personal experience.
Rex Specs.
Is not a very good pitcher. So.
Yeah, and by the way, just quick side note on that, with the Marlins-Pirates series this weekend, the Marlins have three former Pirates starters starting against them this weekend of the four-game series.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And Volquez dominated the shit out of them last night.
Oh, yeah. I was on Volquez, and then I got off of him for whatever reason. I forgot why. But I was not I forgot what it was, but
your Diaz call, I like it. Again, I think Cervelli's actually injured, right?
Yes, he is injured. He is. But they have another catcher too.
All right, so. But no, because Diaz is in my interesting notes of the day. 8 for 22, 3 doubles, a homer, and 8 RBIs in the games that he started this season. Now, keep in mind, that homer and 6 RBIs came one night at Citi Field, but still, 8 for 22 is pretty damn good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's picking on the Mets. Why not Elias Diaz? He has minimum price on FanDuel tonight, which is also very intriguing. Intriguing, appealing, all of the above, my friends. I forgot to mention this when we were talking about the Diamondback stat, but I saw a number where Zach Davies he's throwing his two-seam fastball 60% of the time. I'm sure the Diamondbacks got the same memo on that as well, so if they could just wait back on the fastball, that'll be a fantastic thing. But anyway, Chris Iannetta will probably be pretty popular today. I've been using this guy a lot this season. And 2,600 at Chase Field, I don't know how they wouldn't have him back in the lineup today after such a hot day yesterday, but he's going to be a good option as well.
Yeah, I had him plugged in even before he was in the two hole, and that shocked the complete fire out of me. And I was ready to go. I was like, yes, yes, let's go, yes.
I didn't even play the afternoon slate, but I do know that Diamondbacks game wasn't on the FanDuel one anyway. So
no, it wasn't.
I really didn't pay attention to the game. It was just you see the box score at the end, you're like, oh, holy Iannetta!
Exactly. 2 doubles, home run, ties his career high with 7 RBIs. Just as Russell Westbrook decides that he doesn't want to be on my wall anymore.
Oh my God! By speaking of your boy. Make sure you watch the latest Game of Thrones, or I'm sorry, Game of Zones episode, that animated series that, what the hell, that Bleacher Report does.
Don't like a lot of things that Bleacher Report does, but since it's Russell Westbrook, I probably will.
It's got Westbrook, Harden, and the whole Ball family. It's hysterical, dude. It's amazing.
All right, I'll have to take a look. So
and not just you, all the listeners, go check it out. I can't believe I'm plugging Bleacher Report when I interviewed there and they didn't hire me, but whatever.
Yeah. All right, let's get it going.
Sure. Any other catchers?
Probably, but not that stick out. So it's early. Things can change.
That is very true. That is very true. And especially with catchers, you know, we're going to have a lot of afternoon games tomorrow. So, you know, you got to keep in mind that some of these guys might not even be in starting lineup so they can get saved for tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Super.
I'm bouncing darts off of KD's head. Sorry.
Father of the year. First baseman, who we like here tonight?
It's kind of hard to look past Miggy right now.
Yeah.
I like the way that he is approaches at the plate. You know, Yonder Alonso, Joey Votto, they're both in there as well. So
Okay.
But I really do like Miggy, and I think my sneakiest play of the night though might be Marwin Gonzalez against Matt Shoemaker. I don't know how sneaky it is anymore.
The maker of shoes.
Yes, but I don't think a lot of people are going to play him on DraftKings at 4,600. Batting the 7 hole if he's down in that 6-7 hole. And then, of course, you know, Paul Goldschmidt, obviously.
Yeah, Goldie, 391 career average against the Brewers. Mm-hmm. And they held him in check over that recent three-game series that they played on Memorial Day weekend. So
in Milwaukee, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, sure.
I've got two more. One is Lucas Duda, obviously, you know, in that Atlanta game. We've already talked about how much we like both of them. But Justin Smoke.
You're just taking my whole list. That's okay, bro. But it's okay because I gave away your walk a play without knowing, of course. But
yep, so
it's all good.
So those are my guys. That's who I've got kind of pegged down right now. Depending on where lineups come out and everything like that, it could change.
Yeah, just a couple notes on some of these guys. Miguel Cabrera is absolutely mashing left-handed pitching, but he doesn't have a homer yet against the lefty this season. That could certainly change at Fenway Park. And Duda, of course, is going to be very cheap, hitting in SunTrust Park. That park plays very well to right-handed hitters. So with a guy like Duda, who's been swinging the bat pretty well lately, just a touch of the ball can certainly make it out of there at a discounted price. So keep that in mind. And Justin Smoke leads all of Major League Baseball with 5 homers over the last 7 days.
Yep.
All right, second base. What are we looking at there?
I don't like second base today.
You just want to skip it?
I don't want to skip it. But you know, I continue to sit here and look at Jed Lowry popping off the page in the 3-hole every single day, and still only 2,300.
Indeed.
On FanDuel, compared to his $3,900 price on DraftKings.
Jed Lowry obviously slept with the price guy over at FanDuel. He must have.
Either that, he slept with his
sister.
Wife.
Something. Somebody. Mother. He slept with somebody, you know.
It's just
slept with the whole family.
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. So that's why I don't like second base. Is I'm finding it very hard to get off of them. I mean, unless there's a min price second baseman or somebody close, like. I can't even. He's the, you know, unless Daniel Descalzo is leading off tonight against Zach Davies, which is a possibility. I can't get past it. And he's got a 70. His DFSA grade is a 71.34. There's only one player,
Jesus,
that has a higher one, and that's Daniel Murphy. Brian Dozier is number 3, and it's almost a full 10 points behind Jed Lowry.
Wow. What's that Lowry grade again?
71.34.
Gotcha. Very interesting. All right. Lowry's also 6-for-14 against Cobb over the course of his career with 2 doubles. So
I mean, that there makes it even better. It's an all-in play on FanDuel.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. I like Jason Kipnis as part if you're going to roll with a bunch of Indians today.
No.
That could be an interesting way to go. What do you mean no?
I mean no.
Tell me no. What?
I'll tell you no if I want to tell you no.
He's backup here.
He's not hitting the ball.
All right. Well, Miguel Gonzalez, the cure for all. You know what it is. Kipnis always does well when he's not supposed to. So I guess he's had a lot of good spots recently.
I'm going to have to go back and look at the home road splits. I don't know what they are right off the top of the head. That could play into a little bit. For some reason, I think that I know the Indians, they all perform a lot better at home, as they should, you know, when they get to sleep with their wives and stuff. But
backyard barbecues.
Backyard barbecues, you know, their own bedrooms. But and in the words of Jeff Manns, they cheat at home. but he hasn't looked good at the plate. So.
Show enough. Into that seamless transition of – you said something about struggling at home. Oh, yeah, struggling at home. Jose Altuve, right? So he's got good BVP here against Matt Shoemaker tonight, 10 for 26. This is more of a note against Jose Altuve, but I'm rolling with it anyway. So he's 10 for 26 against against Shoemaker with a double, 3 homers, leads the MLB in road batting average, but he's only hitting .237 at Minute Maid Park this season.
Yeah, that's odd. I don't know why, but that is very, very, very odd.
And that's, you know, he obviously loves Hotel Linens, but he hit a freaking bomb to center field in Kansas City last night, which is absurd.
Yeah, he's got some monster power there.
D. Gordon had a great start to the game last night. He is going to be in a nice position once again. Tyler Glasnow is absolutely terrible at preventing steals. So if D. Gordon gets on base, expect some stolen bases. I like that.
I expect a Billy Hamilton type of – okay, so here's an issue I have, okay? Billy Hamilton has what I call the Ricky Henderson syndrome when it comes to stolen bases. He's just going to steal just to steal. Like, that's all he wants to do is steal. Which I get it, but when you have – I think it was Adam Duvall was at the plate. When you have Adam Duvall at the plate with two outs and you try to steal third off of Yadier Molina, who granted you're 24 for 26 off of stealing the base. But still, it is still one of the best – catchers as far as throwing runners out in Major League Baseball history. When you have one of your best hitters at the plate that has good BVP against the pitcher he's facing with two on and two out in the first inning, what are you doing? Sorry. Okay, I'm done.
And then Molina, I believe he threw that ball where Scooter Gennett hit one of his homers the other night.
No, he didn't. He threw him out at third.
Oh, a third. All right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yesterday, somebody stole. I'm just watching the highlights. But
this was 2 days ago.
he launched it so far in a center field. Like, I was like,
yeah,
whoa.
He was like, he was done. He was like, all right, I'm done playing. Here, I'm just gonna launch the ball. So, anyways,
the best part too is the guy was on third base. He literally walked home.
Yeah, but anyways, D. Gordon, he's Billy Hamilton with a brain. So
yes, indeed.
He actually knows when to steal and when not to, but I could foresee I'm going to steal and you know what? You're going to have to do everything you can to stop me. And that actually makes D. Gordon and whoever's in that two hole for Pitt very
Stan.
Interesting. For Pitt. For Miami.
Yeah.
If Stan's in that two hole, yeah, no kidding. No, you were right. I was wrong. that makes him very, very interesting as a little mini stack, because that means that Glasnow is going to have his attention diverted, and I think that's one of the reasons why Don Mattingly has put Stanton in that two hole, is because he knows that D. Gordon can get on there and kind of do whatever, and it's gonna have some fun. So,
indeed, Glasnow too. There's a very good possibility that D. Gordon could be on base since he's allowing a 1.87 WHIP this season.
Yeah, it's one of the worst. In fact, I think it is the worst on the slate.
You briefly mentioned Brian Dozier against Matt Moore tonight. I understand he's in a shitty park, but is there a chance he gets up and out on him?
I mean, there's always a chance. I mean, Dozier has the kind of power that's not, you know, that. It plays to ballparks, but it doesn't hinder it. He can put one out of any ballpark, so you know I don't mind that at all. I'm a little worried. Like I said, I kind of like Matt Moore tonight, but I'm a little worried that the Twins are, you know, this is a West Coast road trip for them. And, you know, they played a late game last night on a getaway day.
Sure.
I'm a little worried that the Twins offense might be a day late on this one.
Phenomenal defense by the Twins last night. They had so many good plays with Buxton, and then the eighth inning, the pitcher caught that liner from Zunino. Phenomenal.
That was a huge play, too.
Damn handoff, but anyway. All right, all some very good second baseman options over there. Let's talk about third base. What are we looking at here?
I think Jose Ramirez is where I'm going to go.
Okay.
Josh Donaldson's very, very, very intriguing as well. And then, obviously, you've got Jake Lamb. But I think those are my three that I'm really, really, really going to key on is Donaldson, Lamb, and Ramirez.
Okay.
So unless I come across another stack that I want that a guy just ends up happening to fit in. Jed Jerko, maybe. He's, you know, got some pretty good numbers against right-handed pitching this season. If Manny Machado's back in that lineup against Jordan Montgomery, I don't think he's going to be, but if he is. But those are the main three, and then I might mix in a Jerko or a Kyle Seager or somebody in there.
All right. You had mentioned possibly Avila in the two hole. However, I forgot the Tigers have been doing this against lefties.
Nick Castellanos.
Indeed.
Nicholas Castellanos.
There. Castellanos has been having some nice games here of late.
I completely forgot about him. I'm going to write him down right now.
2,800 today going up against a lefty of the Red Sox. He should, he's going to have the Green Monster to play off of tonight, batting second. I mean, the guy, Brian Johnson, that the Red Sox have thrown, he's not terrible. I mean, he did throw a complete game shutout. It was against the Mariners, who suck against lefties. This is going to be his third time getting called up. Now, this is Brian Johnson, not Castellanos. But it's going to be his third time getting called up to the majors this season. All of them, were just spot starts. But, I really like Castellanos tonight there at third.
Yeah, I agree. I completely forgot about him. Thanks for mentioning him.
Indeed. No one else really popping off except Eduardo Nunez is very expensive hitting in AT&T Park. He's been one of the hottest hitters in MLB. His 13 hits ties him for the most over the last 7 days in the league.
But, and stolen base upside too, so he's not a bad sneaky GPP play.
Absolutely. I like him a lot. And Jed Jerko, I like too. Manny Machado day-to-day with the wrist, so watch out for that. I know he's got the matchup against Lefty Montgomery in Yankee Stadium, but... and then Jake Lamb, of course. How the hell could we forget him? He's at home.
We didn't forget him. I told you.
You did? All right. Yeah. Sorry. We're going quick. All right. Let's get to shortstop here. Look, Trey Turner's facing a righty. Went bananas yesterday. He's got 8 steals over the last 7 days. Second place guy in the majors. There's a cluster of them that have 3 over the last 7 days. So that's interesting. Again, Trey Turner against the righty. He's the man. I believe he's hitting 169 against lefties this season, but all of his homers, all of his RBIs are against right-handed pitching this season. We know he's got the stolen base upside. I think we're going to have plenty of money to play with tonight on FanDuel, so I'm loving Trey Turner leading off for the Nationals.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go back to Cleveland. I'm all over them. Cleveland, Carlos Correa. Xander Bogaerts is interesting, but I think an interesting guy, Freddie Galvis, is a little interesting.
Fred.
Since he's, 2,500. But I'm going to go back to Zach Cozart. I know he's in Los Angeles. I know he's going against Rich Hill. But, he's – if I had to choose, he's probably the MVP in the National League, or at least top three, right behind, Charlie Blackman and everybody else. So
strong, very strong.
He's having a career season. He is absolutely just going bananas.
It depends what the Nationals do tonight. They've been sitting Daniel Murphy a lot lately, so I don't know why. That might just be key. Something's got to be wrong with him. But last night we saw Stephen Drew pop off. I had him last night at shortstop.
All three of the shortstops that were there kind of went off. Yeah. Dilfo, yep. Trey Turner, Stephen Drew. I thought that was weird when FanDuel puts out a line or, has 3 shortstops in the starting lineup.
So watch out. Murphy will probably be back in tonight. But if not, you got Drew and Defo. Right there at minimum price. So that could certainly be a good way to go against Cashner. I forgot to mention, too, while we were doing the stack portion of it, but the current Nationals hitters are hitting .344 off of Andrew Cashner. So, there should be plenty of guys on base for everyone tonight.
Yep. I've got a couple sneaky plays that'll be in Boomer's Ballers. So nice. Look out for that.
All right. Let's close it off with the outfielders. And again, death, taxes, and JD Martinez against left-handed pitching this season. It's all guaranteed. So JD, let's see, against lefties this season, he's 6 of 11 with 2 doubles and 4 homers 7 RBIs and 4 walks yet in this season. Yesterday, which was very interesting about him, he hit a ball 430 feet yesterday, which did not leave the yard. That is the furthest non-home run hit in the StatCast era.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it an actual hit, or was it just a fly
out?
Yeah,
it was a double off that deep wall out there in right center field. But 430 feet, not homer.
Wow.
Non-homer.
That's impressive. Yeah, do you want to take a guess what his DFSA grade is today?
942?
No, close.
Okay.
It's 373.
Jesus Christ.
He's got a 1273 ISO versus left-handed pitching this season. Now, granted, it's only 11 at-bats. But still, it's J.D. Martinez, and yeah, so.
Well, yeah, when I said with the 6 of 11, 2 doubles and 4 homers, that alone is amazing. But, you know, he's also got 4 walks in there, so just incredible numbers.
Yep. I'm staying – one of my little things that I've been doing lately is I'm staying – unless it's part of a stack or I need a cheap punt as part of a stack to hit in there. Wow, Kevin Kiermaier out 2 months.
Did you see what happened to him?
No, I didn't. So
he slid feet first in the first base. It looked like his leg was gonna go into his stomach.
I've been staying above guys that have a DFSA grade of like 35, unless it's a guy that, you know, is in a good position or something like that. So I've been kind of narrowing down my field of outfielders just because there's so many on a given night that I want to try to take advantage of, and it just doesn't bode well by me trying to split my interests. So if I can narrow down this field, then I do pretty well. You know, I'll have a mini stack of Stanton and Gordon, but Stanton's DFSA grade's only a 22. So depending on the circumstance or the situation, I kind of stay there. So
you want to make it a mini stack, make it a triple stack. Christian Yelich, 385 batting average with 5 homers, 9 RBIs, and 13 career games at PNC Park.
Hell, just stack the Marlins.
Add to it last night, 3 for 5 with 2 doubles and an RBI in that game. So, yes, that is
Robert Marcelo Zuna in there, too.
Oh, my God. The whole gang. Andrew Benintendi, way too cheap tonight on FanDuel, I believe 28 or 2,900, hitting against Jordan Zimmermann. That's all.
Yeah, that's got to be a misprice because he's 4,700 on DraftKings. That's got to be a misprice on FanDuel. And FanDuel's been doing this. There's been one or two guys that they just, whether they be priced up or priced down, they've just been mispricing him. And I guess it's Andrew Benintendi's turn. So,
yeah, 2,900, though.
He is the B in the alphabet. So maybe they're just going through the alphabet to, you know, down the road.
Show enough. There are also, I mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of different outfield plays. I know that you got to get going, but, you know, we already mentioned the Mets stack, the Indians stack today. Those are all good. You know, the Braves even too. Ender Inciarte, Matt Kemp, both of those guys are going to be pretty nice.
Here's another one for you.
Okay.
Not a stack, but here's another guy for you. When we talk about him kind of often, Corey Dickerson.
Dick Dong?
Yep. So he's if he's not an all-star this year, then we always know that the all-star voting is a travesty anyways. But yes. If he's not an all-star this year, then there's a situation. I like Lonnie Chisenhall as well. Yep. I hope that he's not in that 8-hole, but I hope he makes his way up to that 6-hole.
Oh, no, don't worry. They always put Zimmer there.
So, I mean, he's another guy, Bradley Zimmer. I mean, I think everybody in this Indians offense, if this game decides to get going, is pretty good. Don't forget about Matt Kemp.
Yep.
You know, Nelly Boomstick tonight. I mean, there's a lot of good outfield plays, as there are pretty much every day. And then the highest projected points out of outfielders in the initial projections right now is none other than...
Mookie
Betts.
Oh, interesting. Very nice. I mentioned Ender Inciarte. I just wanted to let you guys know he's 13 for 29. That's a 448 average, 514 OBP, 1.135 OPS. with two doubles, a homer, seven RBIs, five walks, seven runs over the last 7 days. Those 13 hits over the last 7 days tied for the most in the majors with Eduardo Nunez, who we mentioned earlier as well.
Yep, I agree.
All right, that's going to do it for today's podcast. If you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. Get yourself 7 free days to see what we're all about. And then if you want to sign up with us afterwards, just use the promo code podcast so they know that you found us here. For me, Keith, and the rest of the gang, everybody have a good weekend. I'll have my content out over the weekend, both days for you guys. And we'll be back at you Monday. Peace.
Peace out.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.